This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9. My name's Doug Pollard. Now, Lisa Neville is the Victorian Minister in charge of mental health, and she's been under a certain amount of fire from campaigners like Rob Mitchell lately for the lack of support for groups trying to tackle the appallingly high rate of suicide and self-harm among the gay and lesbian community, particularly same-sex attracted youth. I caught up with her yesterday and I asked her to confirm that she had managed to find some additional funding for the Way Out Rural Youth Outreach Project run by Sue Hackney and based in Kyneton.
That's right. As part of Mental Health Week last week, I announced some additional funding of $30,000 for Way Out support services. So this hopefully will mean that they're able to continue the work, the amazing work that they do across rural and regional Victoria.
So that's in addition to the money they're already getting, yeah?
That's right. So this is in addition to what they're already getting. So we're just conscious that, as I understand that, they had some issues in relation to some of the support that they had received for a period of time from some of the charitable organisations. They're unable to continue that. So this will make sure that they now have enough resources funded by the government to continue this important program.
Yeah, they get about 115 from you ordinarily, so this would take it up to 145.
That's right.
If I've got that right.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, talking to Sue and talking to a few other people in working with young people, same-sex attracted young people, that will help, of course, but there seems to be a shortfall of funding for a whole array of groups. For example, Way 28, which is in the greater city of Bendigo, is completely unfunded at the moment, and they say they need funding for 30 hours a week. My Way Out in the Macedon Ranges only gets one day per week paid for, and they say they need an additional 14 hours. And the same story seems to run through all the GLBTI youth groups. So you've propped up Way Out, but what are you going to do for the other ones?
Well, look, we've been doing quite a lot of work in relation to broadly children and youth mental health issues in Victoria, and sitting in that is also an additional focus in relation to the GLBTI community, you know, very much focused on the risks for young people. And that in the mental health strategy that I launched earlier this year, that strategy, you know, not only has a specific focus on GLBTI issues and the higher risk in relation to the development of mental illness as a result of discrimination particularly, but it also has a major reform agenda in how we support children and young people who have a mental illness. And that within that also includes supporting children and young people of GLBTI community who need additional support. Now, this is some of the work that the Ministerial Advisory Council have also inputted into in terms of what sort of focus we need. Now, the priorities of that focus is around ensuring that our service system and our workforce, whether it's in schools or whether it's in specialist mental health services, are able to respond and understand the issues that young people, of same-sex young people, actually experience day to day. And that's one of the really big issues that the Ministerial Advisory Council raised in the process of developing of the mental health strategy. So that's one of the priorities of that strategy, and some of that work has already commenced. But the other part, the other two elements that that are particularly pertinent is for the first time, this strategy recognises that we need to be in the space of promoting positive mental health, and that includes tackling areas of discrimination and social exclusion that contribute to the development of mental illness. So there's a very big focus on that, including the development of some flagship projects, and and the Mac is participating in some of that process for us. There's also
right. Well,
so
well, what,
can
well,
I just, the other major
okay.
issue is in schools and how we are better in schools at responding to the development of mental health issues in our young people. So there's a new framework, a mental health framework for schools that's also in the process of being developed. So, you know, we're trying to strengthen the capacity of our service system to respond not only broadly to children and young people, but also to be able to address particular issues that are faced by particular communities as a result of social exclusion and discrimination.
Yeah, well, social exclusion is obviously a very major thing because all the studies that have been done indicate that a lot of same-sex attracted young people and get cut off from their social networks. They get shunned by peers, they get shunned by family, and the best way to improve their mental health is to reconnect them in some way. And that's what a lot of these youth support groups do. Now, I understand the current total hours per worker from all sources of funding is about 140 hours a week at the moment, but the estimated number of hours per week that are needed to be funding is 381 hours per week, so another $30,000 isn't going to make a lot of difference, is it?
Well, look, you know, certainly Way Out does a great role, but, you know, the last budget we've invested, you know, $180 million into mental health services. And, you know, this is about ensuring that those services, those specialist services in our community and particularly our youth services are in a position to respond to those people in our community who are at higher risk. And certainly we know the GLBTI community, particularly amongst young people, you know, that there is a sort of about a 40% higher risk of developing a mental illness. So, you know, we need to make sure that those services who have those skills are better placed to be able to respond to those issues. And that's, you know, that training and support is commencing as a result of the mental health strategy that I spoke about before. So, you know, that they're really critical that we do that. Now, there are obviously opportunities for us to look at, you know, are there particular, are there gaps in that we need to fill? And certainly I'm always open to be able to have a look at those issues. But we need to make sure our mental health service system in Victoria, whether it's, you know, running out of schools or whether it's in local communities, is better placed to respond to the needs of the GLBTI community. That was what the Ministerial Advisory Council, you know, really strongly highlighted to me, and that's really one of the critical focuses of the new reform agenda for mental health in Victoria.
Is this in any way driven by the requirements of the Human Rights Charter? I mean, has this caused you to make some kind of audit of the mental health services you've got and to realise that you've been underservicing the GLBTI community?
Look, you know, the mental health strategy is something that's been in development over the last 2 years. You know, I was the first Minister for Mental Health, so I set about, when I took on that role about 3 years ago, to really re-look at our mental health service system right across the board, that there were major gaps, you know, how, you know, making sure we were able to intervene earlier, that we had the support and services, that we really understood, you know, what contributed to mental illness in our community, you know, issues as we talked about discrimination and social exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that, there's been extensive consultation in developing what is a massive reform agenda, and the last two budgets have put in, you know, over $300 million into mental health, and a large part of that is in the children and youth area. So this is really a major reform agenda, a major priority for government, and within that strategy, it absolutely highlights the need to provide better responses to those people in the GLBTI community and the particular experiences and particular issues and risk factors that contribute to a higher risk of developing a mental illness.
You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9 with me, Doug Pollard. I was chatting there with Victorian Minister for Mental Health, Lisa Neville. And we'll have more from the Minister in a moment, but I've just got an SMS in here. Hi, Doug. There's a huge issue of mental health arising from homophobic violence against LGBT, and only one organisation is working in a systemic way to address it. The Anti-Violence Project doesn't receive any government funding for its operations. And what could Lisa Neville do about that, says Dwayne. Well, unfortunately, I can't ask her because I did the interview yesterday. She wasn't available this morning, but I'll certainly pass that on.
Joy 94.9. Freshly Dug Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac,
the best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9 with me, Doug Pollard, and I'm chatting with Victorian Minister for Mental Health, Lisa Neville, and we got on to talking about GLBTI aged issues. Can I go from youth issues now to the other end of the scale? Because another area that seems to be underserviced is GLBTI seniors, particularly those in aged care. I heard a particularly disturbing story this week from a friend of mine who was referred to a support group for carers because his partner is dying of cancer. Everybody else there was heterosexual. Everybody stood up and told their story and got a round of applause. And when he did, he was met with silence, and he was completely ignored by everybody else in the support group for the whole of the rest of the meeting, which of course was pretty devastating for him. And I'm hearing a number of stories along those lines where the needs of GLBTI seniors are not being met. Now, fortunately, I was able to put this guy in touch with Lifeline, and that's kind of, you know, helped him get back on an even keel. But don't we need to be educating our aged care providers as well as the people at the young end of the spectrum?
Absolutely, we do. And, you know, that's a terrible story, but unfortunately it's probably not an uncommon story. And we absolutely need to be working with aged care facilities about these issues. So, you know, it's one of the issues that, you know, we've had some discussion about, and, you know, are trying to develop a way forward in this area. So, you know, it needs to be, and it will be, one of the priority areas in some work that we're doing in the aged care area.
Yeah,
so, of course, we'll need to work with the Commonwealth Government about that as well. We're a provider of aged care services in Victoria as a state government, but also the Commonwealth Government provides or is responsible for the majority of aged care facilities in Victoria. So, you know, we'll need to work with them on that. But, you know, it's a really important issue, and it does need addressing, because I think that's just a terrible situation that you've raised.
Yeah. Well, I've also been contacted by someone, and I'm actually going to be talking to Leonie Young about this later in the programme. You know, Beyond Blue are now beginning to pick up the slack also on youth GLBTI issues, but they recently contacted a lot of gay organisations for information about elder GLBTI depression problems, and collected a lot of information, and then they produced a booklet that didn't mention GLBTI seniors at all. You know, it's very easy for these sort of things to fall through the cracks, isn't it? Unless somebody sort of stands up and pushes every so often.
I think that's right. And, it's important they don't fall through the cracks. And certainly the, you know, in terms of the mental health issues, you know, they're sprinkled throughout the mental health strategy, so that you know, have a broad strategy, but you also have a capacity to respond to particular, you know, higher risk groups in terms of developing mental illness. So that's a really, you know, it's important that we do that across, you know, a range of services and supports we provide in our community.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's very nice to be sort of gradually moving into the mainstream, but the trouble is when we move into the mainstream, we tend to disappear into the mainstream, as it were, and then our specific needs don't get addressed. You know, how does your strategy address that? Does it have specific points about GLBTI problems and the likelihood of them being missed in this way?
Well, I mean, it does, but, you know, I think it's absolutely, you know, we do need to continue to ensure that our services do respond and, you know, people are trained, they do understand, and they can, you know, have an appropriate response to GLBTI issues. I mean, they just have to. That's what... you know, we shouldn't let them off the hook from doing that. So we, you know, our role is to provide them with that training and the resources to do that, but we can't let them off the hook. They have to be able to respond to these issues.
Yeah, because we talked about the high suicide and self-harm rate among teenagers and young people who are just about coming to terms with their sexuality and going through that confusing period of life. But there's also a hidden sort of suicide epidemic seems to be going on among seniors who are coming to the end of their life and finding that, you know, they're having to go back into the closet when they're going to aged care and things like that, and that needs to be put front and centre too, I think.
Well, absolutely. So one of the things that when I recently met with the Ministerial Advisory Council that we talked about was, as we go through the process of our suicide prevention strategy is due for a you know, it's about to come to an end for a new strategy to be developed is how we might do that with a particular focus around GLBTI issues and engage the community around those issues and involve young people in development of that strategy. And I think that's it'll be very much linked to the mental health strategy overall, but with a particular focus on suicide prevention. And, you know, we're doing some similar work with the Indigenous communities that also have high risks of suicide as well.
So you'll have some good news for Rachel Seward when she opens up her Senate inquiry into suicide then about what Victoria's doing on suicide prevention.
Well, that's right. The suicide prevention strategy has been a national and state strategy that was put in place, I think it was about 6 years ago now, so it's, as I said, due for a refresh, and that we're in the process of doing that. But absolutely, hopefully we'll be able to, you know, be clear about what works and what now needs to be done to continue to reduce the suicide rates in our communities, but particularly in communities that are a much higher risk of suicide.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Lisa, and thanks for the extra money for Way Out as well, because I do know they do a lot of good work. And let's hope you can find some more for the other rural youth groups as well. My estimation, going through the figures, is that they need about $750,000 a year, which is a lot more than the 100 and odd you've got at the moment. So let's hope we can feed that into your budget figures this year.
Okay. Well, thanks, Doug. I'll certainly keep that in front of my mind.
All right. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay. Thanks, Doug.
Well, my thanks to Victorian Mental Health Minister Lisa Neville. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed we do get some money out of her. Just a quick SMS come through here. Schools have policies in place but do not always follow through by using them to support same-sex students or even discussing LGBT issues. Some teachers completely ban schoolyard or classroom discussion of somebody having two mummies or two daddies or even a mention of joy. How dare they? Which reinforces a social stigma of same-sex attracted youth and contributes to depression. And teachers need to stop showing their personal prejudices in this way.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.